This is Jay Leesk, and you're listening to On the Spot at SharePoint TechCon. This afternoon, I've got the pleasure of interviewing Liam Cleary, who I got to see earlier talk about, were you talking about?
Yesterday afternoon would have been cognitive services.
Oh my gosh, yeah, cognitive services. It was a great demo, and honestly, the thing that blew my mind most, it was hysterical. Totally not related to cognitive services, not cognitive services at all, was you hear a comment about the redwood trees.
Of course.
So redwood trees, you're standing underneath them and you realize, how do they not blow over the wind? And what did you say?
Because the roots intertwine with the other trees that are next to them.
So
that's why they don't fall over.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, totally unrelated to any of this, really. So you talked about cognitive services. In a past couple of episodes, we've talked about AI and the value that's starting to bring to both the consumers and the enterprise. Mm-hmm. I got to see a cognitive services demo a few months ago where they showed facial recognition and audio. What are you really excited about with it?
I mean, apart from all the super exciting stuff like the facial ID and everything else, I mean, that's great, but for normal business type functions, what's great is just, for me, kind of classification of content automatically, tagging of content. It's always been one of those issues that, irrelevant of what platform you use, people just struggle to find stuff, tag stuff, classify it, whatever else. Now we can use these services that are now commoditized to very simply do that for us. It removes a task from an end user that they don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
And I can pick out keywords, I can pick out phrases, I can do all translations, I can do all kinds of things. Just to make kind of end user life easier.
Yeah, you mentioned it yesterday, and we've been talking about it with our customers for years. If you tell an end user to fill out 5 fields of metadata, you're going to get 5 fields of the default value.
Indeed.
Okay, we'll remove the default value. You're going to get 5 fields of the letter A.
Like, yes.
It doesn't matter what you do. You put it in front of the user, you're just slowing them down. And I agree, the idea that there's an engine that can pull the values out of the document, whether it's because it was of how it was mentioned, or if you combine that with your own taxonomy to help pull that out even more educatedly, it's fantastic.
That's right. I mean, historically, we've always relied on search to kind of be that engine. But search, like we know, is only as good as the stuff that goes in.
Yeah.
Whereas now with these services, combined with search,
we
now get the best of everything. So it means I can now find things much easier. I can even have it automatically recommend and find things for me based on me speaking to it. I'm actually waiting for the SharePoint interface that I can talk to.
Yeah.
That I can just say, open this document, and it will just know what to do.
Yes.
Or tag this document with this, or find this.
So we actually, I don't know if you've met the guys from H3, Matt Wade is here. Mm-hmm. They released a bot recently that you talk to. I think it's using the Flow engine.
That's correct.
And you can plain text talk to it, say, create a site for me, and it walks you through all the governance processes as long as you're tied into the right party tool. And there you go. Plain text, it creates it for you following business processes. It's not quite AI, but the same concept applies.
That's right.
It's awesome.
I mean, that's the future. I mean, I had a conversation with someone back at Ignite earlier this year where we talked about how powerful things like Cortana was, where Microsoft have a great platform where I can literally sit in front of the computer and just say, give me the sales figures for last week.
Yeah.
And it just does it. And then you sit there and think, well, how did it do that? And it's doing speech translation. It's making that into regular language. It's then posting that language out to services that translate that talk to the database infrastructure to go and get the results back, because the database infrastructure is now cognitive services ready.
Yep.
And so now we get this whole picture of, well, what's the end game going to be? All this kind of Minority Report movie type stuff now becomes real.
Yeah.
Because the technology is there. That's, I think of my own kids and what their workplace will be like.
I can't even imagine. I have a 5-year-old now, and we used to play the game, what is it going to be like in 5 years, 10 years, or 5 years? And now we're talking about, what is it going to be like in 18 months?
Yeah.
Which we used to say that was the life cycle of a CIO or CTO.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting here going, that's the life cycle of how you do work.
Yes.
18 months from now, it's going to be totally different.
Oh, and it's changed over the past 10, 20 years. I mean, if you think, I think I read an article that somebody had said that there's been more technology advances in the past 20 years than ever before.
Yeah.
Like in the past 40, 50 years, like if you think from a computer, it took them X years to get to that point. And then as soon as the iPhone was made,
yeah,
everything's changed.
Yeah.
So we live in this time where it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the robots to rise up.
Oh, no, don't go. Well, we talked about that yesterday, yes, too. You've got the two bots that created their own language.
That's right.
You're not even going to know they're rising up. All of a sudden, they're
right.
going to be next to you.
Right. What are they talking about? I don't know. They're saying like my kids talking gibberish. I don't know.
So, Liam, let me switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
You're pretty well known in the space. I've seen you talk about AI. We had conversations yesterday a little bit about security.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to where you are? You're kind of all over the place. Yeah.
So I started life as a trainer.
Okay.
So instead of getting an IT career and then, you know, working backwards and becoming a trainer in later life, I did that first. I'm one of those ones, I didn't go to school.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine offered me a job to be a computer trainer. I didn't even know what a computer was. And he gave me a book that was about, you know, 8 inches thick. And said, learn that book.
Yeah.
And then come to my house and teach me what you know from that book.
Okay.
So I studied the book. I went to his house. I taught him, I think it was like Word 3.something or whatever.
Yeah.
Showed him how to do it. He thought it was great. Offered me a job. And I never looked back. I started as a trainer. I went and did dev for a while. I worked in consulting. I worked in security. I did work for people like Scotland Yard, for example,
mm-hmm.
Royal Air Force and DOD, things like that. And then ended up in consulting. So kind of career-wise, it wasn't really a plan.
Yeah.
I kind of just, like most of us, we just end up in kind of, well, I have this and this. But I kind of fell into it. But from being to where I am now, like as far as community would go and people knowing who I am, that one started way back like 2005. I mean, I've been working, maybe longer, I've been working with SharePoint for a while.
Yeah.
As part of a consulting. And I just happened to be posting. Originally, my idea was I wanted to give back. That
okay.
was all it was. I had no idea what MVPs were or anything. I didn't know any of that. And so I started a blog site, and it was called Train Blogging.
Okay.
And the reason it was called Train Blogging is because I caught a train every day.
Oh, really?
And I would go from where I lived to London in the UK,
yep.
and it was 2 hours on a train.
Yeah, so you had some time to write.
And so for 2 hours on a train, I would write blog posts, I would study, and I would post these blog posts almost daily. And they were deep technical because it was new stuff, and I was working on alpha versions of SharePoint that hadn't come out. And all of a sudden, I got this email the one day saying, congratulations, Liam, you're a Microsoft MVP. And I didn't know what that meant. It was also April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a joke. And then a friend of mine in the States sent me a message and said, hey, well done, you're an MVP. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And then from there, I was back then, there was probably 3 or 4 of us in the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
And then it changed. I spoke at conferences, I went on the road, I wrote blog posts, I spoke at user groups, I did all kinds of different things because it was all about just giving back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of felt you spend all this time reading TechNet articles and MSDN articles and somebody else's blog, and then you get a bit of knowledge, and it's like, well, why don't you give that back? You know, because you've learned something new.
Yeah.
So that was my premise,
yeah.
was to give something back.
Yeah, it's funny just going back to the businesses I've worked with over the past 15, 20 years, how many times you get to a point where someone tries to keep their information in their silo because it's their special sauce that makes them worth mm-hmm. keeping at the company. But then I come to a place like this, to SharePoint TechCon or SharePoint Saturdays, and it's all people who recognize the value in sharing and giving back to the,
yes.
the community.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, I've always been one that wanted to learn. And I suppose I kind of feel like that I have an ability to learn often really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I learn something quick, I learn something cool, I'm like, oh, I want to tell someone about what I just did. And as far as work would go, like sometimes companies struggle with that.
Yeah.
They're like, you're going to go and speak and give our secrets away?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, no, not really. This is just, I enjoy helping. That's what it comes down to. I enjoy helping other people. Like some of the roles I have at work, I mentor
mm-hmm.
some of the other guys that come in. Like they just graduate college and they start on their career. And it's like, well, how do I get to that? And they go, I want to do this, I want to do this. I'm like, yeah, you got to take your time to build that.
Yeah.
You know, but don't forget that the reason you're where you are is because of other people.
Yeah.
And so that's always been my kind of mantra, is to, I always want to give back and share. And if I can answer a question for somebody, and they can go back to work and they get a pay rise because they fixed something that they couldn't fix because they had a chat with me. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned mentorship. How about a little mentorship for some of our listeners? We talked about how you became mm-hmm. active in the community. What recommendations would you have, maybe one or two recommendations for someone who's trying to grow their mm-hmm. career and their personal brand in the community?
Right. I mean, I suppose the key things, apart from the regular kind of be on social media, be active, you know, join a user group. I mean, the user groups back in the day were really, I mean, I remember presenting in Manchester in England, and there was six people that came, and it was me, and we ate pizza,
yeah,
and I presented, and we sat around and chatted and everything else. But you know what? They were fantastic times because we were all learning together.
Yeah.
So be part of a user group. They seem to be failing a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Join a user group. Present at a user group. Like, even if you think you're not sure about whether you know your stuff, you know what? Your view may help somebody else.
Yeah.
And just because there may be somebody in there who knows way more than you, that's not going to stop you from presenting. And like, this is my view of what I did at my organization. And telling your story of what you help do
yep.
will go a long, long way. Because the sessions are great. I do technical sessions. People come to hear technical stuff. But what wins them over is when I can tell them a real story of something that I did.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we did this, we did this, we did this, and this was why it was successful. So I would say social media, present at conferences, and just be active. Like, meet other speakers. When you come to a conference, don't sit at the back and hide away. Come and say hi to the speakers. You know, we're not weird.
Yep.
I mean, well some of us are weird, but still, like, come and say hi, because once you get to know the speakers, then often the speakers that present can often have a say in some of the conferences
yeah.
of who gets to speak, and they can make recommendations of like, hey, I spoke to this guy or this girl and they're great. Let's give them a chance to speak.
Yep.
Because it's not all about the old timers like me speaking again and again and again. It's give everybody else a chance to come in.
Yeah, to that point, I was talking with DRC Hess about her story and branding, and she said something very similar. Is when she started her career, there was a group of people that were well known for branding yep. and SharePoint. And as SharePoint grew and those people moved on in their career, DRC and another group of people were able to kind of yep. move their way in. And absolutely, by making those friends and having those conversations, yep. you kind of put yourself in that position. Cool. Liam, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you.
Safe travels. Are you heading back to... You're local, aren't you?
I'm heading back with the hour and 20-minute drive, yes.
Well, try not to get too much road rage today.
I will try not to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode brought to you by Jay Lees and Craig Denke, two guys who like to talk technology and live in a connected world. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers only, and in no way do they represent the opinions of their employers, their customers, or their wives. This has been an On the Spot podcast production.